The first Sunday in Lent. The first scripture lesson is taken from Deuteronomy 26. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, My father was a wandering Armenian, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once more, I greet you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. There was an elevator in a tall building, and as it was descending one day, it quit working. And the people in the elevator began to do, I guess, what we would all begin to do and start pushing the buttons. Well, pretty soon they figured out none of that was working. And then it came upon them to panic. You know, just a little bit of panic at first. You know, they were trapped in this box. They couldn't get out. They didn't know if the elevator was going to fall any. You know, things like that. And so some of them began banging on the elevator door, began trying to open the door. They were yelling out, "Help! Help!" Others were banging on the walls and stomping on the floor, trying to get somebody's attention. But none of that worked. After some time of this activity, when no one came to their rescue, no one heard what they were doing, some of them began to cry. Some of them began to just kind of slump in the floor and kind of, you know, in a defeated attitude. But there was one man on the elevator who remained calm. And he decided to look around. And he saw that underneath the button rack there was a small door. And so he opened the door and he found a telephone. And so he picked up the telephone, put it to his ear, and he waited. And after a short while, there was a voice that came on the other end of the line and said, "Is there a problem?" And the man said, "Yes, we're stuck in this elevator between floor X and floor Y. Can you send somebody to rescue us, to help us?" And the voice said, "We'll be right there." You see, everyone had forgotten that there's a telephone in every elevator. Did you know that? There's a telephone in every elevator. They were so busy being trapped that they forgot that there was a phone there that linked them directly to the security department. Merely by picking up the phone, they were released from their hostage situation. All their efforts to yell and to bang were of no avail. But by picking up the phone and asking for help, help came. Now, this is kind of a metaphor for our lives sometimes. We know that bad things are going to happen in our life, right? We know that many times we're going to feel trapped because we can't get out of the predicaments that we find ourselves into. And it seems like when we try to get out in all of our own human effort, they're useless. But we also know that those are the times that God stands by ready to help us if we just ask Him to. Many people don't ask Him because they either don't know He's there, or they forget that He's there, or they figure, "Oh, He won't help me anyway." You see, you have to have faith that God is there listening to our cries for help and being there and ready to help us because He wants to help us. You see, you have to have faith that God is listening to us. You have to have faith that He wants to help. God promises that He will help those who call on Him. I mean, in our second lesson today from Paul's letter to the Romans in chapter 10, he says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that promise is repeated again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament numerous times. In this reference, Paul is talking about being saved from eternal damnation. But calling on His name is more than just saying His name out loud. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." So calling on the name of Jesus is more than just verbally saying His name, even though there's power in His name. Calling on His name indicates our personal relationship with Him, based on our faith that has been given to us by God. What saves a person is just not saying the name of Jesus. What saves a person is God's grace given in response to our personal faith in the Savior being called, if that makes sense to you. Calling upon Jesus shows what's in a person's heart. And through the actions that of repentance. Paul said, as recorded in our lesson today, If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. You see, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing him personally. There's a difference between just calling his name and believing that he is who he says he is. And God knows what's in a person's heart. However, calling on the name of God is not just a one-time occurrence. It's something that he wants us to do all of the time, throughout our life. Because God wants us to call on him at all times. But you have to know who he is, and you have to know that he's on the other end of the line, so to speak. You've got to remember to ask for help, to ask for guidance, to ask for provision or whatever your need is. But too often, people forget to call on God. Too often, they try to go it alone, you know, kind of banging on the doors by ourselves. God wants us to know that he is always with us and that he wants to help us. Psalm 91 tells us, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." And then in Psalm 50, it says, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me." So what will he do when we call on him? Well, in a nutshell, all things good. He will give you all things that benefit you, from the saving of our physical lives to the saving of our spiritual lives. We can count on him to be a refuge in the storms of life. We can count on him to be our strong tower in times of trouble and temptation. He invites us into his presence and shields us from the adversary, the devil. He guards us. He defends us. And we can completely trust that he will do that because he has been where we are. I mean, he has been tempted. He has been tested, as we saw in our gospel lesson today from Luke 4. He endured sorrow. He battled Satan. And he will help us in our times of trouble too. One thing I want to mention here as an example. We had a member here who lost his job, and a very important job, a very lucrative job. And a number of us prayed with him and counseled with him. Dean is here. And, you know, God answered his prayer. He called on God, and God answered his prayer in, what, 10 days? Less than that. He got either just as good or even better job in 10 days. God comes through. God answers prayer. Now, he may not always answer it in the way we want. He did with Dean. But he does answer our prayer. I'm sure many of you heard the stories, and probably some of you could tell the stories about people, you know, how God rescued them at one time or another. And usually we remember those stories because many times God works in miraculous ways. I mean, you know, this past week we heard all the stories about the tornadoes that came through and how people were saying, you know, I was just sitting in that chair or on that bed, and I got up, and just then the tree came down and went through my roof and smashed into where I just was. Praise God that he protected me. Or maybe in a car the same way. You know, many of them credited God publicly for protecting them. I remember one woman was being interviewed on TV, and she had this big family Bible that she was clutching to her. And she said, "It's because of this that I'm still here today." If it's in His will, He wants to rescue us. He wants us to call on Him during those times of trouble. Calling on the name of the Lord also for our spiritual lives. Ultimately, calling on Him is a sign that we are humble, that we recognize that He is the sovereign. He's the stronger one on the tug of war. We recognize that He is our Creator and our Redeemer. When a person submits to the will of God, they're described as calling on the name of the Lord, calling for help, calling for whatever the need is, recognizing that they are dependent on Him and want to do that what He wants done. Now today, we know is the first day of Lent, or first Sunday of Lent. It's a time, Lent is a time that where we're brought more aware of our sins, right? You know, more aware of our weaknesses in the face of temptations that we see every day. More aware of our need for salvation. It's a time when we're particularly express our sorrow for all of our sins, for all of our transgressions. It's a time when we recognize that we're sorry that Jesus had to suffer and die on the cross because of us, because of our sin. It's a time when we recognize we need God's protection and resistance against the temptations that dog us throughout all of our lives. And God stands ready to help us resist those temptations, just like Jesus resisted the temptation of the devil that we read about in our gospel lesson. You know, He was tempted by Satan himself. Those kind of protections we need, don't we, in our life? We're constantly bombarded by temptations. And the world keeps saying, oh, just give in. You know you want to. But we can't resist always on our own. We need help. We need God's help. And He stands ready to give it to us. In the gospel lesson, we saw how Jesus defeated the devil, right? He used Holy Scripture. He used God's Word. Devil, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. Devil, if you worship me, it'll all be yours. Jesus, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Devil, throw yourself down from here. Jesus, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know what? That scripture help is given to us too. That scripture help is available for us to use too. But we have to know what the scripture is. We have to believe what we're saying. And we have to believe in the one who has given it to us to begin with. And that's where our gratefulness and our submission to His will comes in. Because if you were to read further in Romans chapter 10, further beyond where our lesson cuts off, Paul says this. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? This is where we can come into action. Our gratitude for being rescued and for being, you know, for Him being ready to help us. We can submit to His will, right? And we can become willingly sent, okay, to bring the good news of Jesus to anyone that we encounter. Basically, calling on the name of the Lord is equal to obeying Jesus' direction to us in our gospel. Now, the opposite of that, okay, which is refusing to call on Him or refusing to give Him any kind of glory is wrong. Psalm 79 tells us, pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you and on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. You see, God wants us to call on him. But we have to be careful as we use his name. Because, I mean, we do have the second commandment, which says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Because God's name is sacred. I am God Almighty, Jesus Christ. Those are sacred names, and there's power in those names. Those names are not to be mistreated, but they are to be used. And when we use his name, we have to make sure that we use it for things that glorify him. When we ask him for help, when we call on his name to ask us for help, we are glorifying his name because we are recognizing that he is the sovereign. He is the creator. He is the savior. He is our help. He is our mighty fortress. So the takeaway for us today is that God is constantly with us, constantly wanting to help us, and constantly wanting us to ask him for help. We're saved, yes, through the gift that he gave us, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. But he wants to help us in this life, too. He wants us to tune our minds and our hearts to his. He wants our attention and not to forget that he's there. He wants us to have this running dialogue with him. You know, like Paul said, pray without ceasing. In good times and in bad times. He wants us to be like David. David ran every decision through God to ask him for his guidance, to ask him for his blessing. And you know what? You can't get any better direction or any more assurance than you need of being protected than calling on God for all the decisions that you make in your life. Am I right? Amen. Amen.